This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Money moves fast on Wall Street. With the advent of automated computer trading, millions of transactions take place every second. The money you have sitting in a mutual fund or 401k isn't sitting at all. It is working away, generating more money in ways that you can't see or control. But what if you could slow your money down, make an investment in someone you know personally, and watch that money grow a business or a farm in your own town? That's the idea of slow money and the slow money movement, taking control of your money back from Wall Street with peer-to-peer loans to finance local businesses. Entrepreneur and activist Carol Pepe Hewitt is leading the movement, something called the Slow Money Revolution, in Chatham County, and she tells stories of dozens of such loans in her new book, Financing Our Food Shed, Growing Local Food with Slow Money. She has a reading tonight in Chapel Hill and joins us now in the studio. Carol, welcome back to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. It's great to be back.
Remind us, slow money, what is it?
Slow money. Well, let me back up to May of 2010. Mike Artosky and Tony Cleese, who have a sustainable development business called Earthwise, brought a gentleman named Woody Tash to town. They gathered together numerous activists, people in the organic food movement, farmers, all sorts of folks. And Woody gave us a talk. And he proposed this idea of slow money. He had written a book called Inquiries into the Nature of Slow Money. And he suggested that we do exactly what you just said, which was we slow some of our money down, and in particular, we invest it in food for the purpose of soil fertility. Apparently, 6 or 7 inches of topsoil on our planet is what keeps us alive as a species, and when it's gone, so are we. And the practices we're using now, many of the agricultural practices, we're actually losing topsoil. For numerous reasons. So let's start that. Start with the mission of restoring and maintaining good soil. Let's move on to the fact that if we eat, we're all going to care about this. This is a topic that's important to all of us. If we eat and if we want healthy, long lives, we're going to need to eat well. So if we could slow some of our money down and we could invest it in the soil, and the way to do that, of course, is to support small, sustainable local farmers, and ideally directly. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be a great idea? It sounded like a good idea to me. And so a few of us walked out in the hall and said, let's do this. And we began putting together small loans for small businesses, small farmers, and small food businesses. So sometimes it was a restaurant, you know, that serves a lot of local food. Angelina's Kitchen is a Greek restaurant in Pittsburgh, and farmers that have extra produce after the market can go there, bring her their produce, and it shows up the next day in the daily special. You know, she's an angel to the farmers, and she's an angel to me because her food's delicious, and it's, of course, it's homemade, and it's what I call real food. So that's how it got started.
It gets started, but it's a great idea. So why slow money? Why not fast money? If it's such a great idea, if we are what we eat and we need this topsoil, why do we have to slow the money down to make that investment?
Well, it takes time. So making the loan to Angelina meant that I took an afternoon and I went over and I sat down with her in a restaurant and said, hey, Angelina, I see that you've expanded. How did you do that? I know you and your husband just started this restaurant. You weren't employed at the time. They'd done that on, you know, with every dollar they had. And she said, well, you know, we put it on our credit card. So probably something like 18 or 20% interest.
Yeah.
You know, so a friend of mine, Gary, and I said, well, what if we each loaned you $3,000 at a couple percent interest for a couple of years? What would happen? Well, what that means is when she's done paying us off, she's completely out of debt. So she doesn't have that crippling credit card debt. So that's but it took time.
And time and money, in a sense.
A few minutes.
It takes time to do, but also it means that if you're going to earn money, because you're not making a donation here, you're actually making an investment, as you said, about 3% interest. So if you throw your money onto Wall Street, oh, maybe you're making 9, 10, 12%, if you're lucky. That's fast. That's a good rate of return. If you're willing to take a slower rate of return, then you can invest in a local business. And you know the business because you have seen people go in and out of the place. It's just that you're willing to take your return over a longer period of time. I mean, that's the slow part, isn't it?
Well, I suppose. I mean, they say that, you know, your money in Wall Street's going to lose money and gain money. And unless you keep it in for there for a very long time, you can't be assured that it's going to, you know, be profitable for you. We, many of us saw our portfolios go crashing, you know, not too long ago, and some of them have crawled back up, and some of them hadn't. So it's there's a lot of reasons here, and we need to move off just not only the financial ones. I know the book is called Financing Our Food Shed, but it isn't just about finance; it's about that relationship. So I want Angelinas in my town. You know, Donna Bianco has just bought the Pizza Hut and taken her little Italian restaurant across town, and she's now put a locally owned Italian restaurant in its place. That means more to me than going into a chain. In Siler City, I'm going to do one more restaurant, and then we should probably go back to farms. But in Siler City, which is a cute little town on 64 between Pittsboro and Asheboro, if you're heading to the zoo, you're going to pass on 64 a blur of fast food restaurants. But if you go off just a little ways into town now, a cute little place called Succotash is about to open. It's going to be a farm-to-fork restaurant in a town of a few thousand people, opened by Nicole Price. Now, Nicole just finished her natural chef program degree at the Central Carolina Community College. She's worked in restaurants. She's very interested in supporting local farmers. So she's going to be a gift to the farmers and a huge gift to that little town. People just can't wait for her to get open. So those are the kinds of things that we can do. Now, she's not going to get bank financing for that.
Why not?
Well, she's coming out of school. She doesn't have a job. So you can get money if you have money, if you have collateral, if you already have money, you can prove, you know, I've got this $10,000, loan me three. You know what I'm saying.
Right, you need the collateral, right?
Well, right, exactly. If you don't have money, well, it's not too easy to get it, unless you want to get some very, very expensive money. Payday lending, which we outlawed, and apparently it's going
to
get
to come. Keeps creeping back.
Apparently it may be coming back, which is, you know, bizarre, but nonetheless. Sometimes you can get very expensive money, like Angelina was able to get, but it's crippling. Right. And we don't want to cripple farmers. We don't want to cripple our planet. We don't want to cripple each other. We want to support our communities.
So who makes these loans? You said you heard about, you learned about somebody's situation. Now, how do we do this? One person at a time? One business at a time?
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons I had to write these stories down, because they were heartwarming. People started finding me and saying, I want to do this. I heard that you're doing this. I want to do this. Who do you know that I could you could introduce me to, that I could meet, that I could build a relationship with, and I could make a loan to? And one after another, that's exactly what happened. We've now done 80 loans in North Carolina in the last 3 years, about 60 different lenders. And people ask me that so often, Frank, that I actually have a chapter in the book called Why Lend? And I interviewed people. I asked them, what was your economic background? Were you raised working class? Are you of high net worth? You know, people always think, well, the people that do these loans have a lot of money. Not really. They tended to have working class backgrounds, middle class backgrounds. Father was a minister. Mother was a school teacher. They may still have those professions. Three of the lenders are under 30 years old. And they just don't want to send their new money that they're making out to some, you know, out to La La Land, out to some place where they have no control over it. They care about Durham. So they want a loan to an urban farmer in Durham. That was the cover story of the Indy last week.
Right. So, and this is interesting. People are finding you, but there's no real exchange at the moment, like a stock exchange, the New York Stock Exchange. So if I have a broker, I turn over a bundle of cash, and that money goes abroad and does who knows what to whose environment, to whose way of living, to wages. And it comes back to me at 9%, and I close my eyes and maybe swallow hard, not thinking about what that money's done, right? But there is an exchange. Can I do this with slow money as well?
Well, that's a great question. And slow money is a big topic. It's a national movement, so it's going to differ around the country. But here in North Carolina, we are a nonprofit. We tucked ourselves under the Abundance Foundation in Pittsboro. We take donations for, you know, to keep ourselves going, which doesn't take much. But we don't touch the money. So we don't aggregate the funds in any way. I don't tell you that you should loan to any one person. I can introduce you to them. Coco Cinnamon, for example, here in Durham, they needed money when they got their adorable coffee shop going. And they had a couple of friends and customers that approached them and said, can we help you? And so we put together a promissory note for them. And slow money really just offers a mechanism. You know, honestly, it's like the 4-minute mile. You know, once the 4-minute mile was run, everybody could do that over and over. So people will say, well, how do you do these loans? And once we show them it can be done, they want to either make a loan or, this is a part that matters a lot to me, it gives a farmer or a small business owner hope. It's a very discouraging field that we're in when you go out looking for capital. 30 years ago, when Mark, my husband is a potter, and when he and I got started 30 years ago, if we hadn't gotten a small loan from a family member, we would, I don't know how long it would have taken us to get off the ground. That little bit of money took us 10 years to pay back. I think it's been $100 a month or something. Just, you know, but the point was that we need each other to get these small businesses going. We can do this as a community.
And
we
you're
can
building
make a difference.
The relationships that you talked about are also helping to build your business. Now people are invested in your business. They want you to succeed. In fact, they've lent to you, so they start telling other people about this great place, not only because they thought it was a great idea, but part of you saying, I've got some money in that little company.
Well, that's right. And that's another thing that I do as a slow money network is I have a website and I put all the slow money loans up there. So if I'm coming into town, when I go to eat lunch today, you can bet I'm going to try to, you know, 9th Street Bakery, that we helped him build the deck. I mentioned Cocoa Cinnamon. So if I'm, you know, I'm going to try to support those slow money folks. And, you know, we all do that with each other. But there's so many reasons to support local businesses. And they are, you can, you know, read about this in many different places. Michael Schumann writes about it in his book, Local Dollars, Local Cents. But, small businesses are more likely to be close at hand, so there's more walkability. They're better for sort of a smart growth strategy. The jobs tend to stay in town. They tend to create far more jobs. Big multinational comes in, gets tired of you, finds a cheaper spot. Off they go. They leave some, you know, ugly building behind and a whole bunch of unemployed people. We know that there's a multiplier effect, you know, when you spend money in town at a locally owned independent business. Much higher percentage of that money stays in your community because it gets spent over and over.
You know, it's interesting.
Just all good reasons.
And I should point this out that I'm on the board of the directors of the Durham Central Market.
Oh, yeah.
Proposed co-op supermarket. It's will be cooperatively financed supermarket that's going to go in here in Durham. Self-Help Ventures is our development partner. So you've got a financier who understands the idea of slow money and developing the neighborhood. And when I go around talking to people, they just love the idea of being able to take some of their investment money or savings and putting it into us and this store, which will be their store, right? And say, oh, my investment's there. I can, you know, choose an interest rate, 3-4%, whatever it is. And that's my store. And they can drive past it and know that they've hired people from the neighborhood to work there and that the money keeps circulating within the neighborhood.
For all those reasons, and because when they go in the store, they're going to have an impact. They're going to have an impact on the success, but they're also going to have influence.
On the you food shed itself. So now we're also
helping. Influence on the store. If they
right.
wish there was a new product or they, right. you know, we just refinanced the Chatham Marketplace in Pittsburgh. There was a $300,000 balloon payment coming due from the bank in Virginia that originally financed that project. So 16 people put in $25,000. We formed an LLC and we bought that loan. We brought the interest rate down several percentage points. And the loan payment now, monthly loan payment for the Chatham Marketplace is $2,500 less than it was when the bank, when it had an out of state, outside bank.
Right. Your money's flying over the border, right?
Right. So 16 people now are seeing over the next 8 years, a reasonable, very reasonable rate of return. It's exciting to hear about the Durham project. Hendersonville Co-op in North Carolina is talking about an expansion. I was just up at the Berkshire Co-op in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, talking to them because they're looking at doing an expansion. We can all learn from each other. This is happening all the time.
We learn from our mistakes, too. Not all of these loans work, right?
That's true.
And you have an example or two of loans that didn't work.
I do. I like to say the good news is that the loans that have not done so well, there's only a couple of them, all happened in 2011. And all the loans we've done in 2012 and 13 are performing very well. Part of that is because we're getting better at supporting the lender better. People are sometimes not really loan ready. They know they want to expand or they want to do this project, but they don't really have all their ducks in a row. And so one of the things that we're helping do is help them with some technical assistance, maybe send them to their small business center so they can get their business plan in better shape. So those kinds of things are part of the process.
You know, banks have underwriters who are professionals at evaluating business plans and deciding whether or not this thing is going to work. Do we have to be as investors, if I want to lend money, how smart do I have to be in business to know that my money is going to be safe in this particular business?
That is a really good question and a challenge, but I do think we are very smart. I think our tuition is excellent, and it depends on the amount. You know, it's one thing to loan somebody $1,000 or $2,000. It's another to loan them $30. You know, at that point, maybe you really do want to pull somebody in that is your accountant or someone that you know. Say, can you help me with this business plan? Look at this with me. How do, you know, tell me what you see. But if it's a few thousand dollars and you've met Nicole and you think that having succotash is a fabulous idea in Siler City, you live in Siler City, there isn't a single farm to fork restaurant there, you know, when you're willing to take that risk. When the Chatham Marketplace opened, there were loads of us that took the risk and put in $2,000 community investment notes. I felt as though if it stayed in business a year or two, it was worth it in a way, just for the value in my community.
Well, your intuition has to be pretty good because most of the loans you've made, and I forget, tell me again how many you've made so far.
Well, 80, but I want to be careful and say I haven't made them.
But I'm
just
part
the
of
escort service.
Yeah.
You know, I introduce people to one another, and then they do meet that person. They make a visit to the farm. They get to know them. You know, they build a friendship. And they decide if this is someone they want to make a direct peer-to-peer loan to.
Most of them have succeeded.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And I would think, and I've got about 30 seconds left, but the fact that I, as the borrower, have a relationship, I guess that makes me feel a little more responsible and accountable for being a success. I know who's gonna be hurt. I ate dinner with them if this business fails.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. People will say they'll pay their light bill. They won't pay their light bill, but they'll pay their lender. You know, Keith Hill just got a loan in Eflin to buy his truck died, and he now has a used SUV and a walk-behind tiller. And I know that if he doesn't do anything else, he's going to pay Shelby.
Carol Pepe Hewitt is founder of Slow Money NC. You can find a link to stateofthings.org. She's going to be reading from her new book, Financing Our Food Shed, tonight, 7 o'clock, Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's great fun.
This is the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Thanks for listening. I'm Frank Stachow.